forever. Dog.
The goody goody.
Sabrina Jellies. The goody goody. You're listening to the goody goody. I've been to Nigeria.
I lived in Ghana. So definitely that guy. Yeah.
So he lived in Ghana?
Yeah, they lived in Ghana and then with my sister, and then we lived in Cameroon a little bit when I was little. And
he was
then we moved
there?
To fucking Delaware. He was researching for his PhD.
Whoa.
For his dissertation.
Which he did on
Western Africa. And that's all I know.
Okay, so yeah. So even though he's not brown, he's still like, things are getting really dark here, and I can see that, and I'm gonna start doing history because political science is just getting too batshit crazy.
It's too much. That's his take. He's kind of in, you know, being the professor, he's in class, he's in front of like 300 kids, and he's like, politics, it's too much.
Okay, yeah, it literally, as he's like packing up his bag,
calm
I know there's
40 down.
Minutes left, but I couldn't possibly, and I don't know why you could.
Can
Everyone
we not?
Gets an A. Can we not with this?
My dad's just like quoting my Twitter.
YOLO!
Hello, Bloomberg, back up. Trump, calm down.
Well, that's okay. So now I'm seeing it all. I'm seeing it all more clearly now. Do you have any, when you, as like a bit of a genie, just to make you uncomfortable?
Are you calling me a genie?
Yeah, I'm calling you a little tiny.
I identify as a Jasmine.
I'm calling you a white ass genie. Anyways.
You white ass genie. You come out of the lamp and you're not blue. You're fucking white and it's scary.
Yeah, like my dad is brown and my mom is white, so I'm not as fucking white as a poppy daddy white, brown white. Okay.
So do you feel
disconnected from you? Like you're a fucking liar? Yeah, I feel cheated. I feel like, I don't know, your grandma, who's a midwife, who was promised a certain amount of money for delivering a baby, but then got just handed coins.
Yeah, she was handed coins. Awful. Absolutely bad. So your dad is brown and your mom is white. And did you ever feel like,
Like a Jasmine or a genie? Like a fraud.
Was that kind of, because I feel like my parents... deal growing up, a little bit part of their identity was like, we grew up in the 90s, they were kind of woke, and it was like multiculturalism, you know?
Yeah,
what I
well
mean?
I grew up in Toronto, which was very multicultural, but I definitely grew up feeling like embarrassed about my brown side because I didn't read as brown. I looked like, you know, like a Michelle Rodriguez type. You know, like I could play Hispanic, and I just didn't, there was no like, did you feel this way growing up? Like there was, I knew that I wanted to do acting, entertainment, comedy, but I didn't see that out there.
Yeah.
And part of, but it seemed, I mean, both, I will say I would be downplaying myself.
She got to deprecate.
I would be deprecating if I didn't say, I was definitely like a go-getter. I was doing things and I wasn't like, until Mindy Kaling has a sitcom, I'll never be anyone. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it was like important to see brown people doing things like that definitely changed things for me, and definitely gay people doing things. So I know you never asked me an official question, but
no, I mean, this is where I was like going.
Yeah. If this is the direction it's going, the answer was like, I felt like, I think that part, like that was my nubbins, my teeth nubbins and my big tits was both like being gay, not really understanding it, but feeling like so different and like my body didn't like fit into the mold that I was supposed to. And then also feeling not really a part of like white world and not really a part of brown world.
Totally.
So that good fish out of water.
But then that made you kind of probably like observe everything.
Yeah.
And like study everything, which I think is like a full that to me is like when you ask like, oh, what's the like comedy thing? And I'm like, yeah, it's the tits. Yeah, it's the
sure,
teeth.
It's and the tits and the nubs.
That's the canon and we've talked about that and we know what that is. But like what it really is like you don't feel like you're a part of things. And so you're just like watching everything and like trying to crack it.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally.
Totally. And like also like figuring out like how am I going to survive and like have the life I want like in this world.
And what's the answer?
Get your teeth fixed.
Get your fucking teeth fixed.
And apply your SAT prep skills to comedy jobs. Ew, that's so nasty.
It's true.
Put
work into it.
I feel like
I think here's the thing that I think with stand up is like I think that people often, you know, when you probably get this a lot now of people being like, I'd love to sit down and pick your brain. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes what it means is like I want to know what the shortcut is because I want to know like the one answer that's gonna like unlock things. But the one answer is the deeper thing, which is what you just said, kind of on one level, put your SAT skills into comedy. Mm-hmm. Which is like it's not like you gotta intern at X place and then you get the job. It's like mm-hmm. you really have like it woven into you has to be what is it, what was I saying, I got too confident and then wound up, you know, when you like your and then you're like the pace of the sentence is not going to get me to the promised
like,
land. I'm not going to get
let me take a couple pauses.
Okay, slow it down that it's just like a lot of work and loving when if you love the work and weave like truth into the work, that's how the goody-goody happens. Oh no, this is what I was saying with the stand-up and with comedy in general, because it's fun and it's like a thing that it's like it's a social thing, it's like people go out and drink and then you do stand-up and it seems it's like the finding that balance of like spontaneity and like I'm winging it and also like fully preparedness is an important thing to find.
I also feel like if I had been more talented and naturally charismatic, I wouldn't have had to put in the work. Like, that's how I always felt, was like, I see people now today that are like so fucking individual. And I'm sure a lot of work goes into everything, which is like the secret that like some people think like
that's the secret.
People go up and improvise and like, it's not fucking true, honey. It's not easy for anybody. But I do think that like, you see people that are so singular and it's so natural to them and like they're just so clearly a star. I feel like I never felt that way about myself and I made up for it in the way, in like the skill
sheer
that I had.
Hours
you know what
in.
I mean? Yeah, yeah, exactly. And I also feel like there are people that will always be like, oh fuck, I'm about to fucking nail this audition. I'm about to fucking, I killed that and I'm getting this and I'm getting that. And then they do because they like have that confidence in themselves.
I don't like you though.
Okay, yeah, we don't like to be around you, but they exist,
like
honey.
The way you're talking out in the streets.
They exist, honey. I have never gone into anything thinking I was going to get it. And I've never walked away from anything thinking, oh yeah, that was me. You know, like.
You just never make that assumption.
No.
So then you can't be pulled down.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's what we call on the Goody Goody podcast a
lessons.
I mean,
Hollywood
my point.
Scoop, scoop,
I mean, I'm
scoop, scoop, Hollywood
your point?
Scoop.
Yeah,
tell me that.
My scoop. Point is scoop, scoop, scoop. My point is scoop, scoop, scoop.
Tell me.
I mean, just that it's like, I think that I used what I had to get where I was going, and that's not the only way. You know what I mean? And also,
no, everybody's got different tools in the toolbox.
Also, like, I'm like sitting here as like a fucking kid with a dad who's a professor, a mom who's a librarian, and like I studied really hard for college and I went. Like, that's not everybody, and that shouldn't be everybody, you know?
Yeah, but in that path, I mean, like, I think about, like, for Wolfie, when I think about the price of college, it's interesting basically to hear like your parents turn around with Tish that they went to like basically the sales pitch and they're like, yes, if you mm-hmm. get there, then we'll be proud and we'll pay for it. And like part of me as like I went to school at Ryerson in Toronto, which was like the radio and television program was like the program in Canada to go to for entertainment stuff. But looking back, I'm just like, I don't know. I guess for me, going to school was this way of continuing my child. Ladies and gentlemen, if you heard that was my true child screaming outside. I have him in a small but large cage. That's not that good of a joke.
It's a nice cage.
I do have to get going. It's a nice cage.
It's nice. It's nice. It's a beautiful home. It's a beautiful home. And also, you're always at a villa, Sabrina. Let's get real. There's always a pool and a beautiful spread. And that's the life, okay? It's a beautiful cage.
My internet life presents that I am always in a villa. And I do think maybe in my real life I am. We're about to go to Mexico for 3 weeks right now.
3 weeks?
3 weeks. We're going, Wolfie's bio dad, our donor, is getting married. Going for that. And then... I've never worked in Mexico my whole life. It so happens. His wedding's on the 22nd. The 23rd, I get booked in, like, literally, like, in Vallarta, right where...
Kismet.
Yeah, total kismet. Oh. By the way, Kismet, this lunch place in Los Feliz, is so good.
Are you talking about Kismet or Kismet Rotisserie?
Kismet, the sit-down place. The orange wine there.
Kismet is so good. I actually had a date at so Kismet, good. Like an actual, not like a man date, but like a date, like the fruit.
The medjool.
The medjool. And I bit into that date and I thought, well, yeah, I'm moving to LA.
Yeah, got it. Eat at Kismet. And then, okay, so then... we'll be doing that. And then, I mean, I guess my private life is my public life. I'm here to break the news. We're going to try and make a fucking embryo.
Excellent. Absolutely.
And it's my,
excellent.
We're going to try and make an embryo out of my egg and Ricky's sperm. And then
which we'll, is the bio dad.
Which is the bio dad, yeah. And then we'll put it on ice. And then Shauna wants to go to Burning Man. So she should definitely do that before we put embryos in her. And then so then that's the dream of the thing that we're trying to manifest. That's the practical step, man. I'm just trying to get an A on getting these eggs taken out and frozen.
An A on family. And Wolfie.
Do you know people that have frozen their eggs?
Or whatever. Yeah. A lot of people have frozen their
eggs. And it's like
eggs.
No big deal.
I mean, I think it is a big deal because the hormones,
they
got to
knock
you
out.
But I don't freaking know.
Hormones, yeah.
I don't know the whole deal, but I think that women and all people should do whatever they want to make their family however the hell they want. And a controversial
yes.
opinion, that's how I feel.
Yeah. No, well, we were inspired.
Children are
to...
our future, and if you want one, you should get one. I think
yes.
that everybody
yes.
who wants
do
one
not
should get one.
Be waiting for some man to come into your life
no.
to unlock that. You literally, like, the ingredients are sperm and egg and money.
A lot
really.
Of people
like,
say,
saving money.
Like, I don't want... to bring children into this world, the environment, what's going to happen, et cetera, et cetera. And I totally understand that. I get that. My feeling, though, and maybe this is just pure optimism, what we need is like little good people soldiers for the future, not literal soldiers, but like we need good souls
yes.
in the world for the future to vote and to like heal this earth. And like, I think that if you want a baby and you can imbue it with all the good things and create a good positive force for the world, do it.
Yeah, I think there yeah. is something like that is obviously about breastfeeding, bitch.
Oh God! I mean, do we have time to get into breastfeeding? Because I—that's a whole
into,
other.
We can pod. Totally get into. We can totally get into breastfeeding, but I will say, I think when people say I don't want to bring a child into this dark world, they're just basically like, I'm waiting for the right dude, or like, you know, it's like whenever people like toss it onto like the bigger thing of like, oh yeah, I would write a screenplay, but like the movies, I mean, they're what do they even mean anymore? You know, it's like, it's more just
like bitch, you have no ideas.
Bitch, you just don't have final draft yet. You know, like
bitch, get final draft and get that freaking sperm.
Yeah.
Wherever you can.
Come on, bitch. You can never blame things on the dark. The world is so dark. You still got to go to Kismet. You got to eat that nice ass date. What, are you not going to fly because of toxins? You got to.
You got to go to Mexico.
You got to go to Mexico for 3 weeks. So anyway, so we're going to, the gig is like a one, it's a one show, but we stay at the resort for a week and then I'll be like pumping myself full of hormones. I'll be doing the wackiest set, I'm sure. And then...
You
and
should call
I
it the hormone
like
tour.
I should call it the hormone tour. I mean, I think I'll just be like injecting myself on stage. I mean, it's all lesbians. It's Olivia
oh,
Travel.
Yeah.
I Incredible. Think this might come out while I'm out there. But check out Olivia Travel. They book me, and so you book them. but I'm nervous for that for sure.
Hi, everybody. Tim Heidecker here to let you know about our latest episode of Office Hours Live.
Office Hours is great fun.
With the great John Early and Theda Hamill.
Very handsome.
Thank you. They're here to talk about their new movie, Stress Positions. And we just had a wonderful time. There was a lot of laughter and joy. Don't believe me? Well, listen for yourself on the podcast app of your choice. You're not going to want to miss a second. That's at Office Hours Live at the podcast app of your choice.
Bum, 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 bum.
I love Vic and Doug, and I love drinking my wine.
That's the siren.
Police.
That's the hormone police. Oh, yeah, breastfeeding.
I'm all about it. My sister is a friend who's a doula. I had a 20-minute conversation with her. Somebody
I'm kidding.
I was so shocked, but I was like, normalize this. Normal to ask questions.
Just freshly had a baby in LA. So a vagina, what do you mean by that?
I was like, oh, maybe she's stupid. I don't know. She could be cool, but she could be stupid too. I don't know. Some people are dumb. Some people are just dumb.
Oh, man.
I had a 20-minute conversation with the doula, and now I'm an authority on breastfeeding.
Well, yeah, breastfeeding is good, amazing, miraculous, and then also has made me, like, I've been doing stand-up about it, but, like, the idea of men's tits being the one that society is like, that's okay to show by the mm-hmm. pool, but, like, women, you better cover it up. But it's like, oh, no, those are the ones that everyone sucked on to even just, like, come into this world, come into life. But then that is the one that's shameful. It's just, like, such a fucking crock of shit.
I have a question which is maybe too personal. And if so...
No, I don't have nipples.
Okay.
Yes,
was there ever
me.
A moment where you were like, oh, I would like to be pregnant?
No.
No?
There is a moment where I, you know, like within the relentless sort of pursuit of feeling the calling within me to try to make this biological child mm-hmm. of mine, which mm-hmm. I don't think it is about biology because of my connection with Wolfie. Mm-hmm. And we really like when we asked Ricky, he was getting married. So we asked him and his wife mm-hmm. to be. We knew that like the answer could be no, cause he was single when we asked him initially and things are different now and we were totally open to adoption, but there is something just within like basically looking at the pros and cons of all the things and with the process of Shauna having Wolfie, that was something that like was the first fantasy would be mm-hmm. to do it again like that. But then now it's like with science,
mm-hmm.
why not try to make a my own one? But then making a my own one is not the way to say it. What I mean is a smarter version of Wolfie, who is more practical, symmetrical, has a worse metabolism for sure. A chubbier, smarter Wolfie. That it never, for me, like the pain part or the discomfort of it, it's like so mm. beautiful to me that Shauna, like how Shauna wore her pregnancy, I feel like I would just be so much more of a, like, I'm gonna say pussy about it,
yeah.
But like, you know, like totally. I just like, just even with this, like with the egg thing, I'm not even doing the hormones yet, but I'm already like, Shauna, can you even believe like I have to take all these vitamins? And she's like, you dumb bitch, I'm gonna
yeah,
carry
exactly.
this. And you're like, literally all you have to do is squirt out an egg and like I will be carrying it in my fucking body.
Completely.
But like the vulnerability, it really yeah. has been like eye-opening, the vulnerability of being sort of like completely out of control, you know, like here I'm talking about it and I could go to Vallarta and they could like, you know, scan me and be like, ma'am, there's just a bunch of penises behind your pussy. Like, I don't know what.
A bunch of little penises?
There's a bunch of
no,
little penises back there.
No.
But something like just that there is not, the eggs are not, or the thing is not, you know, there's all sorts of outcomes. Like you mm-hmm. said, not going into the audition of the, I mean, it's like so everything
yeah,
in life. It's
sure.
like the stakes could not be higher and the stakes could not be lower.
Well, you know, you can't control it, but you can choose. And like with science and with science,
oh
with
my God,
science,
you just pulled out a full PowerPoint.
But with science.
Siddhi, how did you prepare this?
I've prepared for hours. Have you not heard my thesis statement, which is study comedy and you can learn it? No, that's not
the tagline. Is West Africa?
But no, like you don't have control, but you have choice, and like you're. Why not fucking choose what feels right for you? That's fucking cool. I can't wait to shit out giant suns for whatever man takes me down from the mountain. You know what I mean?
You're looking out.
I'm looking for him. He could come in at any moment.
Who are we looking for in this man?
Okay.
Strong, silent, tall.
Here's what we want. Okay.
Could play a villain, but has the heart of a protagonist.
With science.
Yeah.
With science. We can actually choose.
Yes. Okay.
I want a guy who has like the personality of a hobbit, but not the body. Does that make sense?
Personality of a hobbit. Well, I'm not like super well versed in the
very much
Lord
a bookish, a bookish okay. man with his muffins and his pots, but he's like built like the Rock.
Okay.
You know what I mean? That's definitely important for him to be able to run. No, that's not important, but kind of ideal.
He has
I don't
to be
know.
Able to run faster than you.
Oh yeah, but that's not hard.
Okay.
That's not hard. If you can't run faster than me, go to a doctor. That's
you don't like to run. Oh yeah, you hate field hockey.
Yeah.
Okay, so he's got to be able to be the Rock but also do pottery.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. I mean ultimately I think like I'm really attracted to intelligence. That makes me feel safe. I think that's like my mother coming from Iran and was like, she found a smart man and it like made her feel safe and taken care of. And like she could depend on that resource of that brain. And I feel the same way. I'm like, I have always been attracted to smart guys. But that's like my main deal. And also I'm like reaching like a point in my life where I'm like, unfortunately, like, I tell myself I'm dating to have fun and I will take many lovers and explore and blah, blah, blah. I am trying to find a husband.
Yeah.
A husband.
Well, that's the high stakes, low stakes. It's like every date is like literally the stakes could not be lower. And at the same time, like, are you going to fucking put a baby in my body? And
hello, you can be my world. I will give you everything, babe. Honey, ma'am. Meanwhile, I'm like two IPAs in at Covell.
Honey, you're talking to a Majewel date.
Honey, you're talking to a dried fig, baby.
Honey,
I'm sorry.
It is wrapped in bacon, but...
That ain't going to put it in yet. You know what I mean? You're putting it in, but it ain't going to put it in. Yeah, that is definitely where I'm at. Where I'm like, okay. I'm just dating. I'm just having fun. I'll meet anybody, but
okay,
if you're
are
not
you
my
a husband,
husband...
Are you a husband that
out.
Is smart, built? I feel like you're like... You don't need the Rock's physique is going to be
we don't
you know,
really need
you also
built.
Don't want someone that's just like eating
we actually don't
egg
need built
and,
you know what I say but when I mean built I mean above I mean taller than me
yeah and like you know do a sporty thing do
no,
some kind of sporty thing
not even that
just can you catch a ball he doesn't even have to catch a ball just needs to shape a pot
the more you name things I realize they're not necessary I actually you know what. Read the news and then everything else we can negotiate on.
Okay, so just a Fox News junkie.
Fox News.
Okay, I feel like we are gonna wrap it up soon, but I do want to know when the moment of the because SNL probably was like wasn't that the breakthrough. That,
totally.
Yeah.
Totally.
That was like, oh shit, now I'm on track.
Yeah. Fucking.
Like for a goal driven, like I'm taking step by step. That was like, and now I'm on a bit of an escalator.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So when did you get it and where were you when you found out and that part? And then also like, who was your favorite celebrity to meet? Because I've been to those parties and it's just like, that's such a fun part of like with filming the sitcom. It was like the idea of like after the live taping, being able to party after is so fun.
Oh my God. Yeah. Because it's like that release of like, you know, you earned it. You earned that drink and everybody with you earned it. And that is like such a fun party.
Okay. So all those questions.
Okay. So all those questions. Okay. I got SNL after I did Just for Laughs. I had screen tested the year before and then the following year, Yeah, I actually always thought that they saw me at Just for Laughs and they were like, she should be a writer. But then I recently found out that my entire perception of the narrative of me getting hired is a lie that I made up in my head. And I got hired off a packet. I submitted a packet of sketches and they read it and they called me in for an interview. And then I got it. And then it was crazy. It was my first year was really hard. Most people's first year is really hard. Like,
is it because like there's an understanding that if it's your first year, you're staying the latest?
Or everybody stays the latest. I mean, I would say actually the further up you are on the food chain to SNL, the later you stay, at least writing wise, because it means you have the most responsibility. You're writing cold opens. You're writing last minute shit. So I would say that. And then as a first year, you want to stay really late because you're like, what if they need me? Like, I want to be around. I want people to know I'm committed to this or whatever. So I would be in my office doing nothing and truly be like, oh, okay, well, every hour I might just like do a lap in the hall just so people know I'm here, which is like fake and didn't mean anything. But like in my head, that made me feel like I'm here to
learn.
You're
like the perfect personality for that place.
I know. It's so gross.
They're like, we found one.
It's so nasty. Okay, what was your other question? Okay, so then...
like a cool person that came
in. Oh my God. Actually, you know, this was very recent, but I genuinely think it's like my coolest moment was when RuPaul hosted.
Oh, cool.
Ru was just everything that you know, I've met a lot of my heroes, and I think you very quickly learn like that everybody's just a person. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And the week is long, and you're, even if somebody starts out like fucking incredible and everything that you ever wanted them to be, eventually you're going to see that that person's a human being, which is like good and healthy. I think I have like a healthy view of like meeting people I really look up to. And Rue was just incredible energy. Just funny, such an easy laugher. You would hear the end of a sketch at the table read, and even if the last line didn't get a big laugh, Rue would put down the script and laugh.
Yeah,
just at the idea of what we just read.
Generosity, that, man.
Yes, and an easy laugher, and that's what I love. And that if you have a good laugher in your midst and you're with a bunch of comedians, everybody is just performing for that person because you want that that give. And also,
that's
I think
just a good lesson for like any fucking thing, like any leadership role. It's like create that energy.
Completely.
Create the energy that like, you know, you want to be at this party and you want to be with these people. And then, you know, it only gets better from there.
Completely. Completely. And I just think it was a really fun show. And he is so well suited to that show in so many ways and so multi-talented. And it was just one of those moments where I kind of went in with like expectations of like, okay, you know, it's just a person. It's just a human being. And you don't really know them just because you feel like you know them. And then I was like, oh my God, that person is a model of like what I want to be. Like I want to be that energy, you know.
Cool.
Cool.
Well, I want to be your energy, bitch.
I want to be your energy.
Let's have another mimosa, but let's do it off the air.
She's
anything else to say to your sister before we go?
I love you. You're my everything.
All right.
Now for your daily reminder that I'm the star of a sitcom. Deals.
Do you know about a deal?
No.
Bye.
Hi, Vina.
Hi, Mama. How's it going?
How are you?
I'm good. I think I'm getting my period today. It's like slowly starting to show signs. But that's good.
Is it in time?
I was supposed to get it tomorrow, but we're landing in Puerto Vallarta early enough that if I get it today, we can rush over there because it's supposed to be day two at the fertility clinic they like.
Okay.
They measure all my stuff. But I'm pretty sure I'm like thinking now, what if the plane is late or something like that? But I feel like they'll just be able to measure me the next day. I think ideally it's day two.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
What time are you landing?
We land at 3:45 and the clinic closes at 6. But he said that he could have the doctor stay. Yeah, I mean, if everything goes on time, I'll make it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then also, I don't know because, like, I'm just kind of spotting right now. I don't know if it's, like, for sure the first day of my period. Last time, it, like, kind of seemed like it was going to be the first day. And then the next day was the first day.
Oh, okay.
So I mean, there's just accident. So many yeah. unknowns okay. and it's like so hard to just yeah. Be chill.
Yeah. Yeah. I can see that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
How's it going over there?
Oh, well. Good. Good. You know, Tanzila is feeling quite all right now because...
Tanzila is, you know, my, is my aunt who is going through chemo right now.
Yeah.
When was she diagnosed, Mom?
I think end of October.
Okay, so my mom is in New Jersey with Tanapapa, just rallying beside her. Yeah. It's really beautiful. Like she's never been without family visiting, right?
Yeah, yeah. She doesn't really need. I mean, okay, fine. But I think when she has her chemo, which will be next Tuesday, so every 2 weeks she has chemo. After the chemo, she's not feeling well at all for a few days, and then it gets slowly better. So by now, she's had the chemo more than a week ago. Mm-hmm. She's feeling quite all right. Like she's, you know, doing a little bit of cooking and, you know, looking after things. She can't touch anything cold and she can't eat anything cold. Like she has to use gloves to touch, you know.
Really?
We usually help her with that. Yeah.
What happens if she touches something cold?
It burns her.
She's no way.
Very, very sensitive. Yeah, and the fingernails kind of look funny, but apparently that's all going to go away. Okay. So she has like 5 more treatments to do, so 2 more months.
I never knew that when you go through chemo, you can't touch a cold thing.
Well, maybe everybody reacts differently, and there's probably also different types of chemo. You know? So I don't know if everybody would have that same reaction or not, you know. But it'll be nice when it's all done. So now, you know, we were here last time. I don't know when was last time we were here. Maybe 4 years ago or so, or 5 years ago. They wanted to do a new kitchen in the porch. They never did. So now we're tackling this project again. We're getting estimates, and we're going to get some kitchen estimates, you know, so that when she's finished, she can, you know, maybe do this project. It'll be nice, a nice reward for her, you know.
Yeah, that's really nice. Yeah. And also, there's no way that you're visiting anyone without doing some sort of other project.
That's right. And she always relies on us for these kind of things, ideas and so on. Yeah. And the kids are really very loving, you know.
Yeah.
Justin comes home in the evening and he'll sit beside her and hold her hand. And, you know, just really nice.
Are you guys going to go into the city at all?
I don't think so.
No.
There's really no. Like Leila said, you know, come and visit us. But I see her when she comes and visits.
I know, but it's like, you're like right next to New York City.
I know. We've seen it. What am I going to see there?
Listen to the Alicia Keys song, New York, and then start beating on your chest with your fist and then run to the nearest MTA station.
Okay. Anyway, Samir is coming tonight. He's going to stay the night and then leave tomorrow morning.
Samir is my brother.
Yeah.
Okay. Nice. Okay, yeah, cool. Yeah. Do you have anything, any lessons for the goody-goody listeners?
Well, you were telling me, like, you wanted to talk about my reaction to you said you wanted to be a comedian.
Yeah, Suri was my guest today, and she's half Persian, half white, so we, like, relate to each other on that. But then also a question that happens when you are, an ethnic person and you do stand-up as often. I mean, I'm guilty of it because I looked at her and I was like, how did your parents feel about comedy? So how did you feel when I started doing comedy?
Well, I mean, I kind of thought I would
prefer go away, right?
if you had a quote-unquote normal job.
Yeah.
But whenever I talk to, you know, like parents of your friends, they always said, oh, you should be so lucky. She knows exactly what she wants. Our kids don't know what they want. And a lot of kids don't know what they want and they end up doing a profession that they hate, or a profession that they were forced to do because their parents wanted them to do, and they're unhappy all their life. So in that sense, you're lucky, I'm lucky, you're happy what you're doing. You love to do what you're doing, and I think that's a great thing.
Yeah, you know? And I think there's also a lesson in kind of assuming that one traditional path is going to take you to check off all the boxes that, you know, like the reason why you wanted me to do something more traditional was not because you wanted me to be boring, because you wanted me to be safe. And
security,
you wanted me to be happy and have money and have a roof over my head.
Yeah.
But the interesting thing is, through comedy, I've had like so much abundance, and and through being mm-hmm. gay, which was also like a path that was like not traditional, quote, quote, traditional. Which I completely chose to do. No, but like from following my heart there, we have this beautiful family. So it's I think a good lesson in like not assuming that the traditional path or the path that you envisioned is the clearest and most sure path to the things that you want.
Yeah. But I think you did the right thing. You got a university degree, you know. And I still remember when you went did you have to audition to go to Ryerson because that program was so popular? And you came back and you told me that whoever interviewed you said, like, he hasn't seen too many people who have such high math marks, you know, applying for this job, you know.
It's funny.
Because you were really good at math.
I remember that.
But I think, you know, having a university degree, I mean, maybe sometimes it's a bit overrated, but it's a good idea anyways. You have something there to fall back on.
Well, Sudhi talked about like how she's really applied academic excellence in her comedic excellence, which is not usually what you see. Is like it's people that are like not drawn to school that write jokes and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But she is someone who was always really good at school, and so when it came to comedy, she applied it to like when there was an audition, she would just basically approach it with this obsession of someone who researches and rehearses. Mm-hmm. And it's mm-hmm. I mean, she mm-hmm. was hired by SNL almost straight out of college. She went to Tisch mm-hmm. at NYU. And then when she was hired by SNL, she was like a perfect personality type for the Lorne Michaels world, which is like stay late, work hard, never leave the mm-hmm. office. So yeah, it's true that school can help you. And at the same time, if it's not for you, I mean, like if Wolfie's like not drawn to going to college, I'm not going to beg him to rack up debt.
Mm-hmm.
But do something.
Well, by that time, maybe it's free. Maybe it'll be free.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it's just, I mean, school teaches you a lot of other things too, not just academics. You know, how to get along, how to, you know, to work with other people on projects and,
how to
use your time wisely. Like, there's a lot of other things you learn, you know, at university.
Well, it's like a continuation of being in the system. And even if like part of being at school for me was like how to work the system in a non-traditional way, because I was hosting that show. So I wasn't at school. So I would have to pay people to take notes.
Yeah.
And so at that point, you're kind of like, I felt like I was running a business, which was getting a degree.
Yeah. Well, I guess you were really lucky the way it happened. You know, that's the ideal way of this happening, because when you were done with university, you already had a little bit of a career there. You didn't have to start from scratch or work as a waitress
and that was all
people to let you, you know.
That was all because of stand-up.
Yeah, yeah.
Which was this non-academic thing.
Yeah.
Okay, that's I love you, Mom. Yeah. Love you,
okay,
Mommy.
Okay, love you too. Have a good trip and send us pictures from time to time and let me know how all the measurements go.
I will, for sure. Okay, love you.
Okay, bye, Bina. Love you. Forever
Dog. This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. For more original podcasts, please visit foreverdogpodcast.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram at Forever Dog Team and liking our page on Facebook.